I'm visiting the United Nations today, but not the one in New York. I'm at the UN compound in Vienna, Austria. I'll bet you didn't know the UN was in Austria, but trust me, it is. Upstairs is the International Atomic Energy Agency, and also, just as important, the UN Office of Outer Space Affairs. UNOOSA, as no one calls it, has invited the world's children and me to come learn about outer space and how to get to Mars.
My name is Anna May, and I'm 10 years old.
This is one of my fellow space cadets. Do you want to go to Mars? That's what I really want to know.
No, it's kind of hard to go, and then you can die if you go backwards. And it's...
So who should go?
You should.
Excellent answer. What my young comrade does not realize is that I am going to Mars. I leave tonight. Now, I'm not doing this alone. Besides my training day here at the UN, I've been advised by a space expert.
My name is Gernot Grömer. I'm working for the Austrian Space Forum at the University of Innsbruck, and I'm right now doing my PhD on astrobiology.
Grömer went to Mars in 2003. Well, he didn't really go to Mars. It was a two-week simulation at the Mars Desert Research Station in Utah. Grömer liked it so much that he repeated the simulation last year, and he plans to do it again in the Arctic. He's one of the world's most experienced simulated astronauts. And when he heard about my plans to go to Mars, he was behind me 100%.
So, John, you're embarking on a grand adventure about only 400 people have been doing before you. So good luck, stick to the procedures, and Godspeed.
The European Space Agency plans to send humans to Mars by 2035. NASA has its own mission with a target date of 2037. And now the Chinese want to join in. When I'm in my 60s, party's going to be on Mars. But all I ever hear about is how difficult it is to get there. It's always cosmic radiation this and deadly space illness that. For my simulated journey to Mars, I wanted to focus on the question that no one is asking. Not, is it possible to send humans to Mars? But rather, is life in space any different from my apartment?
3, 2, 1, liftoff.
AAA's command, this is Captain Jan Bohannon aboard the RV Gonzo, currently 20 million kilometers from Earth en route to Mars.
Stand by for transmission of ship's
log 51007. Transmitting.
It's been an excellent first day in space. I'm now farther from Earth than anyone has ever traveled, and I'm alive to tell you about it. So, I celebrated this morning in style with a space bath.
It's hot.
Technically, this was my first breach of Grömer's protocol.
First day, do not shower.
Oops.
The less water you use, the cheaper the mission gets. And every liter you save costs tens of thousands of dollars less of money for a real mission.
What's on the space menu? Grömer told me that the first thing to consider in designing good space food is...
water. Any kind of powder to make the water taste like milk powder, chocolate powder, coffee powder, and so on.
After a nice mug of powdered milk and dehydrated cocoa beverage, I decided to cook my first soup. Whole day, Grummer's been in my head like a backseat chef.
Lots of spices.
And by the way, Mom, Dad, Sis, hi. I know I've been a bit mysterious about this trip, not actually going to Marseille. That was a lie. Going to Mars. Red planet. Didn't have time to explain. Sorry about that. So, day two. 40 million kilometers from Earth, and I'm working up a serious sweat. Not that I wasn't warned about this.
The absolute minimum you have to do is maybe 1 hour cycling a day or so.
Microgravity may look fun, but it's actually not good for you.
The reason for this is that as long as you don't use your muscles, they're getting weaker. Also, your bones are getting weaker.
So I'm doing an hour on the stationary bike, 75 push-ups, 280 crunches, 300 of this really silly-looking exercise that I like to call manly leg scissors, and I'm squeezing this bathtub duck.
Make sure that your muscles you're using for extravehicular activities are also trained as well, like, for example, for your fingers, which is the same amount of training you need when you're climbing.
This is surprisingly tiring. By the time I finished my first workout, my space capsule was as hot as an oven, and without even thinking about it, I cracked open the window. Day two, and I've already killed myself. Day three. I've spent the day writing emails to my friends and family back on Earth. Emails in outer space, you ask? Oh, but yes.
You may use email, but you have to observe the time delay.
So let's see, 60 million kilometers for my sister's email to arrive, and then 60 million back for my reply, divide by the speed of light.
Usually between 6 and 22 minutes.
So today I've got 6 minutes of email delay, and by the time I get to Mars, it'll be 15. Heck, who doesn't wait 15 minutes to reply to an email? I sometimes let weeks go by, especially if it's work-related. As far as I can tell, the life of a deep space astronaut is eerily similar to that of a slobby, homebound journalist. Wow, listen to this. People generally think that space is silent. But actually, the interior of space capsules are notoriously noisy. And mine's gotta be the loudest. It's embarrassing. Another long night, alone in my capsule. When I asked Grummer how he spent his free time in space, this is what he told me.
We had some really hardcore scientists with us. That's one of the strangest things I observed from my first mission, that those people started to write poetry. I got some really beautiful, very personal poetry slams at those days.
Poetry slams. So that's how astronauts pass the time. When I told him that I was doing this mission solo...
Yeah, that's going to be a challenge. What we don't know is what kind of isolation feelings will be happening when you don't see the Earth as a full ball anymore. We have something called the Earth out of sight phenomenon. Your home planet, everybody you ever known, every human being which ever lived is reduced to one teeny tiny little focal spot in the sky, which can hardly be distinguished from any other star.
So Earth is far away. So what?
Psychologists say that this immense feeling of isolation will create depression eventually. Depression means that your sleep patterns change. Depression means that your reaction times go down. Depression means that the will to survive, the will to follow procedures is reduced. And that's life-threatening.
I spent the morning tossing coins into a bucket. My reaction time, way down. And I didn't even break Grummer's first rule.
In principle, all drugs are forbidden. That's rule number one.
I was shocked to learn that over 7% of astronauts have died on the job. That's stressful.
Nevertheless, we are well aware that alcohol is releasing a lot of tension if it's consumed responsibly.
Good old Grummer, throwing me a lifeline.
This rule applies only to the Russian cosmonauts, unfortunately.
Oh, man.
The US procedures still say that the station is no place for drugs, rock and roll, or something like that. At least that's the official position.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Huh. And here I was thinking that space was all about science. What have I learned? Life in space ain't so bad. But what this researcher failed to realize is just how life-threateningly small this apartment really was. Well, see you back on Earth. Please send me an email.